Brother Sam, thank you for that wonderful prayer, my brother. To you, dear people here at Macedonian Church, I am thankful for the opportunity to be here and the invitation by your dear pastor. Enjoyed your good singing here. Good singing makes you want to sing, don't it? And the dear brother singing bass there, one of y'all, I really enjoyed that too. Thank y'all for the opportunity to come and be with you. Not long-winded, and I'd rather be invited back than you not want me to come back. And there's an old saying down home, you can have a 1-inch thick steak on your plate, but if the plate isn't clean, it's not in very enticing to eat it, is it? And I know something about your pastor here. Brother Will, I won't tell all I know, but anyhow, he's been a dear friend of mine through the years, known his dear dad and mom for so long. I want to speak to you today on a very comforting subject, and it's one that's misunderstood, perhaps. The doctrine of the resurrection is a very comforting doctrine, isn't it? Everything I ever hope to enjoy on the other side of the grave depends upon the resurrection. And if there's no resurrection, there's no Christ. Because Christ says, I am the resurrection. I believe there'll come a day when these old cemeteries out here and other places shall be the happiest place on this side of glory. When the Lord Himself, not going to send some pope or some preacher after you. We're told that in 1 Thessalonians 4, Owen. For the Lord Himself, now that's vitally important. No preacher can do that for you because he needs getting out of the grave with the same power that you do. So the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first, right? And then we which are alive and remain shall be changed, and together with them shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And the book declares right after that, wherefore comfort one another with these words. That's a glorious text, isn't it? Now over here in Daniel 12 and 2, the text says this, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Now isn't that strange? The word resurrect simply means to stand up or to raise back to life. I don't want to discourage you this morning, but if you don't have your cemetery plot, get you one. You're going to need it. We're not put here to stay, are we? My brother Job in 14 in one of his writings reminded me of that. He said, man that is born of woman's a few days, few days and full of trouble. I thank God I don't have long to put up with this down here. Heaven will be worth every heartache you've ever had. Amen. And brethren, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Contempt. Brethren, listen. The old church has hardly had an intermission from no-hailers and non-resurrectionists and those who have buffeted her on every side. But I'm telling you today, there are two basic essentials of our belief and doctrine. The first one is the death of Christ. If you take that from old Baptists, what do you have left? Nothing, do you? And the other one is the resurrection of Christ. If Christ is over yonder in Joseph's new tomb this morning, there's nothing to it. Do you understand that? You know, some crazy thing said they found DNA proof that Christ's body didn't rise. Well, who are you going to believe, the Bible? Or are you going to believe some educated fool out here? Psalm 53:1, Psalm 14:1 says this, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. It'd take a fool to say something like that, wouldn't it? In 1920, there was a man by the name of John Dewey. Perhaps you all, many of y'all have not been born in 1920, but there was an infidel by the name, an atheist, John Dewey, said there was no soul of man, no God in heaven, neither any moral code. Well, I thought Psalm 115 said about verse 3, but our God is in the heavens. Isn't He there today? Sure He is. He's there in a body, brethren. My Lord rose in a body, did He not? The last thing He did going up was He blessed his disciples here on earth. And brethren, he's coming back. He promised me that in John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. There's a lot that trouble me about our nation today. We're in serious and grave trouble. You all know that. Our churches are in trouble. There's an old adage that so goes the home, so goes the nation. Our homes, brethren, are in trouble too. But John Dewey said this, there's no God in heaven. Well, I've just proved that there was, but our God is in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased in heaven, the earth, the sea, and all the deep places, brethren. Now, when Rebecca over here was giving a birth to her child, the Bible said that her soul departed from her, right? You remember the widow's son? The old prophet there prayed, stretched himself upon that lad of a boy there about 3 times, and prayed, and here was his prayer, Lord, let the soul of this one enter into him again. Now, how can one enter into again if it hadn't already been there, right? Mm-hmm. John saw the souls of those that were beheaded for the cause and sake of Christ. So I just proved to you, by the way, 1 Corinthians 6:20 says something like this, you're not your own, you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and spirit, which are his. Now somebody said Christ didn't do anything for the body on the cross. Let me tell you, my brother, I believe there'll be reuniting of the body, soul, and spirit.
Amen.
I believe that with all my heart. And I'll tell you, heaven will be as long as God lives. Did you know I'm going to live as long as God lives? I shall have perpetual youth. Isn't that a glorious thought? In that land where we shall never grow old. My brethren and sisters, today the resurrection is real. You know, perhaps the word resurrection is never mentioned in the old book, the Old Testament over there, but the resurrection is. In the last 3 verses of the 50th chapter of the book of Genesis over here, it says something like this. Joseph told his brethren, he says, I die, and God shall surely visit you. Aren't you glad he's here? Where is this? In Cartersville today or wherever it is? Aren't you glad he's here? I die, and God shall surely visit you. And Joseph said, ye shall carry up my bones from hence. Joseph didn't want to be left down in Egypt. I've got some grand news for you. You won't be left in this Egypt too when the Lord comes. He's going to carry us up. And it says, and Joseph made a covenant with his brethren, mentioning the departing of his bones from the land of Egypt to the land of Canaan. And the last verse of that last chapter of the book of Genesis there says, it says this, and Joseph died being 110 years old, and they embalmed him and put him in a coffin. Now, I want to say something right here. You can be cremated if you want to, but I want you to understand I don't want that. I may get enough of that when I leave anyhow. I don't know. I have a sweet hope of seeing my Lord. My brethren and sisters, you might ask me, did Joseph's kindred honor that covenant? I'll promise you, if you will go from the book of Genesis to Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua, the last chapter being 24 in Joshua, 161 chapters later from Genesis, the 50th chapter there, you will find that they buried the bones of Joseph in Shechem. In that day, a covenant meant something. But brethren and sisters, we're living in a day whenever covenants don't mean very much. I'm glad we have a covenant-keeping God, don't you all?
Amen.
My Lord promised to return and get me. He said in John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now that's vitally important. There are people who believe in God but does not believe in Christ. Mm-hmm. Brethren, listen. We baptize in the name, not names, of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. 1 John 5:7 says, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are what? One. Moses said over here in Deuteronomy 6, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God.
Amen.
He isn't three gods. I know Christ said one time, I do know he said this, I and my Father are one. Now if you put that on your school test, you're going to get a failing grade, aren't you? But brethren, our God cannot be divided. And listen, the word resurrection appears some 41 times in the New Testament. And I tell you, brethren, it's a very comforting doctrine. I am very interested in what's going to happen to me when I leave this world. I'm going to die. I don't fear to die. I don't believe I'll fear to die. If it wasn't for death, I wouldn't want to live. I wouldn't want to stay here with every disease and everything that could happen to a human body happening to mine, brethren. Don't you know? Somebody asked me the other day, said, Brother Tommy, you want to be put on life support? I said, my Lord, I don't want to be taken off of it. I've been on it for 65 years. That's right. You talking about life support? Well, that's God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, isn't it? Brethren, I've been employed by life for a long time. And I'm about ready to retire. You understand that? I have stood by the graves and bedsides of hundreds. I've had the honor of being asked to be in several hundred funerals. And they tell me this, I want to go home. They're not talking about their little dwelling. But I'll tell you, home is just beyond the grave, isn't it? Complete rest is just on the other side of the little stream of death. Brethren, listen, not much rest in this world. You see, in nature, I can be no worse, right? Don't say that again. In nature, I can be no worse. But in grace, I can be no better. Did you know my future looks very clear this morning? Now, Brother Will, when I start back home and some of these crazy things about run over me up here, might make me think something ought not. But right now, my future looks very bright and clear. And the very thought of spending eternity with Christ, it thrills my heart, my brother. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, brethren. Somewhere in the not-too-distant future, the sacred knot that is held, my body, soul, and spirit together shall be untied, right? And I believe my soul and my spirit shall descend back to God who gave it, which is recorded in Ecclesiastes 3, in the book of Ecclesiastes. Brethren, listen today. The soul is an identity of me, right? I tell you, I don't understand the soul and spirit, but I know it's true. So, the sacred knot shall be untied. We sing that old hymn, I fly away, right? You know that's a Bible term? The Bible says, where we are soon cut off and we fly away, right? Listen, Job 19 reminds us of the resurrection. He said this, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. You can't be a Redeemer trying to redeem, can you? You are a Redeemer if you redeem, right? Job says, that was thousands of years before Christ was ever born. How did Job know that? I believe it was revealed to him just like it is to you and I, don't you? Job says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, he shall stand upon the earth at the latter day. Did he? About 2,000 years ago, he did it, brethren. Job said, went on and said, after my skin will destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see him? He said, for mine eyes shall behold him and not another. To see your Lord in heaven, brethren and sisters, will be the climax of our hope. Our hope takes us beyond the grave, does it not? And many of them, I want to ask you a very serious question this morning. Can you imagine the awesome consequences that await those who depart this life not in a relationship with Christ by His own blood and grace? Can you imagine the consequences that wait for them? I believe those people are described in Matthew 25, when and all nations shall be gathered before him, and he shall as a shepherd. We've got the good, the great, the chief shepherd, don't we? And he shall as a shepherd divide his sheep from the goats. His sheep denounces ownership, doesn't it? You belong to Christ this morning. You're not your own, brethren. And he shall say to that bunch on the left, depart from me, for I never knew you. Can you imagine the consequences awaiting them? Can you imagine the awesome and wonderful glories that await us who shall be on his right side, and we shall hear this? Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. When? From the foundation of the world. John 5:28 said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which they that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and perhaps might come forward? No! They that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. This is the definition, brethren and sisters. The gospel is not a proposition, is it? In Luke 1 and 1, it says this, "For as much as many have taken in hand, set forth and ordered those things which are most surely believed among us." And verse 4 says, "That thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." We believe the gospel, don't we? If you took this book from us, what would you replace it with? Brethren, today, we've got the best heaven could afford. You understand that? The Savior, as Luke 2 requires, "Fear not, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." He is your Savior. He shall ever be our Savior, right? And brethren, today, I'm going to die. I've already said that, and I know that. But I don't believe I'll fear to die. Brother Will, you probably knew Elder Manning Temples. I asked him. He died at 75, I believe. I said, "Brother Manning, do you ever think about death?" He says, "I do all the time, Brother Tommy, but I don't worry about it." He says, "I can't change anything." Listen, to die is not all bad. It's so universal to the human race. Until, brethren, listen, something that's going to... You can go buy the vitamins, you can buy the store, and you can do what you want to with it, but disappointed unto men once to die. You understand that? There's only been two escaped it from Adam to now, right? That was Enoch and Elijah, I believe. They went up. They didn't go in the presence of God in this tabernacle, did they? I think the Apostle Paul warned me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. "For we know that if our earthly house, or this tabernacle, were dissolved," that means broken up, "in death, the body and the soul and the spirit are broken up. For we know that if our earthly house or this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Isn't that good news for you today? Never know another funeral, another heartache, a farewell. Never another tear, brethren. I want to ask you a question today. If Christ be not raised from the dead, you are in serious trouble, aren't you? We're yet in our sins. We're yet in our sins. I believe the work of Christ is eternal on the cross. It was official, wasn't it? Would it ever have to be done over again? I believe Hebrews 10:14 says something like this, "For by one offering..." Now, where did that offering take place? Was it in Gethsemane? Or was it on the cross? It was on the cross. He died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, on the cross, did he not? And brethren, listen, the only time you'll find agony mentioned in the Word of God is with his sufferings in Gethsemane. We can't belittle his sufferings, but we cannot belittle his death. "We were not reconciled unto God by the sweat of his Son, but we were reconciled unto God by the death of his Son." What? And so today, brethren, listen, I say to you today, if there be no resurrection of the dead, our preaching is vain. We've just false witnesses, Brother Will. "And they that are fallen asleep are perished. Don't you know God is looking over them?" Some people come to my home the other morning, three dear ladies, one of them my dear friend. I asked her, I said, "Did you know I live here?" And she says, "I did." Of course, she's of another persuasion. I said, "Well, what are you doing here then?" "I want to come by and show you some truth." I said, "Ma'am, I wouldn't trade what I've got for 16 freight train carloads you're trying to give away." "I wouldn't have." I said, "You don't even believe in heaven." She said, "Yes, we do." I said, "No, ma'am, you don't. You believe this earth will be redone and you all will be here on earth." I said, "You all believe there'll be 144,000 in heaven." I said, "I probably got that many. How much would 144,000 in pennies be, Brother Will? What would that be? 1,400 or 1,400? I don't know. I can comprehend 144,000. But I'll tell you, there won't be just 144,000. There'll be as the sand of the sea and the stars of the heavens, brethren. Try to number them if you want a little job. They'll be without number. I believe there'll be millions of people in heaven who never heard one true gospel sermon.
Amen.
If you don't believe that, what are you going to do with the little infants that's never saw the light of day? What are you going to do with those who don't have the mental capability to discern right from wrong? Brethren, listen. I'm so thankful I'm an old-line primitive Baptist. I want to remain one. I want to come to the end of my journey on my feet if I can. But if I'm flat on my back and God will be with me, and some of you dear brethren come by and strike hands with me, say, Brother Tommy, you know what you preached at Macedonia Church about the resurrection? That'll make me feel better right now. It sure will. Brethren, listen. Over here, I'm done about gone. Over here, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, the Apostle Paul says this, For I am now ready to be offered. I believe death seasoned by grace can make us ready to leave this world. I want to ask you a serious question. If it wasn't for your family and the church, what would you want to stay here for anyhow? This world is not our home, brethren. We sing that old hymn. Paul said, For I am now ready to be offered. That word for there is a preposition, which connects this sentence to the one previous to it. You break down preposition, you get preposition, don't you? And I do believe that all the people of God were prepositioned in Christ before the world began. You believe that doctrine up here, don't you?
Amen.
Sure you do. I'm so glad I was in the mind and purpose of God before I ever existed in a body. As a bankrupt sinner, I have no reason to question my God. And as a sinner saved by grace, I have no right to do it, right? God always does what's right. For I am now ready to be offered. Brethren, the great wise man said over there in chapter 3 of the book of Ecclesiastes, he said something to every purpose under the sun. There's a time and you can't even get it. And everything. Well, there's a season and everything. I don't, but you know where it is. It's chapter 3, verse 1, I believe it is. But anyhow, there's a time to die. You understand that? And there's going to be a time to pluck up. God shall raise these bodies from the cemeteries, and we shall be caught up in the clouds to meet Him in the air, brethren. And so shall we ever. I don't believe there'll be preaching in heaven, do you? I heard a brother one time told me he was going to go around shaking all the hands of the people that he had saved. I said, well, you won't have a job. Dear brother was ordained down our way some time back, and his family said, I hope he can save as many as Billy Graham did. I told one of them, I said, he will. They said, how many is that? I said, zero. Zero. But brethren, listen. You're talking about a home coming down here. But there's going to be a home going. You understand that? And all the saints of God shall be gathered home, never to break up anymore. We'll soon break up here. We'll go back to our little home in Emanuel County. It isn't much in the eyes of the world. But I'm about to the point I don't try to impress people anymore. We just what we are. Told Brother Will this morning, the girls there printing and putting on all this stuff. I said, Sister Allison, you know, there's an old saying, a little powder and a little paint can surely make you what you ain't. So I better get out of that. For I am now ready to be offered. When you're ready, I believe you're willing, aren't you? And he goes on and says, For the time of my departure. That departure there means return or season. For the time of my departure. Now, I've done a lot of pilot and command of small aircraft, done a lot of flying, several hundred hours. When we departed from one destination to another, it wasn't the end of the journey, was it? It was just from one destination to another. Did you know that's what death will do for you? It'll remove you from this one to another destination. I want to ask you a question. If you're in Christ today, you can't get out, can you? In fact, if you're in Christ, you don't want to get out. And until you get in Him, you don't want to be in Him, right? I tell you today, Christ did it right. You understand that?
Amen.
Brethren, today the departure of us has been going on. Death was going on long before God ever gave the original 10 laws. You remember Cain slew 25% of the population one time of the whole earth, didn't he? I declare to you today, by His blood and His amazing grace, I believe every heir of promise shall be with Him in glory. Now, I want to say something here. Without the loss of a single one, if one could be lost, there'd be no hope for any of us, would it? A dear mother in Savannah, Georgia, her son retired from the Navy. He wanted to be buried at sea. They took him out in a weighted casket, and his mother wouldn't even attend his burial. I don't blame her. I don't believe I would have either. But brethren, listen. God will know where that body is, won't He? He won't need the markers of cemetery or a funeral home people to know where his people are lying. He knows where every one of them are. Brethren, listen today. Brethren, truth is always precious, isn't it? That's what does us good, is the truth. Christ said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And brethren, He has given us the best that heaven and earth could afford. We've got the old church. We want to maintain it, don't we? We don't want our doors or our churches to be shut. But if something doesn't change, we may face some of that in the near future. I know there's a lot can happen to a church. People can't help people, old people dying, young people dying. They can't help young people moving away to get new jobs and all that. There's a lot can happen that has nothing to do with the preaching of the gospel that can close the church doors. So today, you dear people here at Old Macedonia, keep fighting on just a little while longer. Then our arms shall fall limp to our side. And some dear brother, not sister, some dear brother shall say a few words over us. By the way, I was at a restaurant down there some time back. This dear lady come to me and said, oh, said, you're a minister. I said, well, I bear that title, ma'am. She said, we've got 5 women of our church and every one of them ordained ministers. Brother Will, I want to sit there and let that ruin my meal. I said, sister, have you ever read in the Bible where a minister must be the husband of one wife? Would you pray tell me how those women can be the husband of one wife? She said, well, God made a donkey speak one time. I said, I got sense enough to know that. He spoke 24 words the first time, 17 the next. It was a female donkey. And I said, God made her speak with a man's voice. I said, God rather use a donkey to speak than a woman in the pool. I don't want to be unkind, brethren. I don't have a bit of patience for that. Mm-hmm. But listen, the resurrection is a very comforting doctrine. Today we got something to look forward to. You've got the best to come. God saved the best to last, did He not? Mm-hmm. Heaven will be worth it, brethren and sisters. Mm-hmm. Fight on a few more days. You won't have many more tears to shed because heaven will wipe away all. In that blessed state of the saints, no tears, no sorrow, no crying, no heartache, no funerals, no goodbyes. But brethren, one eternal day of joy, bliss, and happiness. And if there be no resurrection, there'll be none of that to experience, will it? Today, thank you all for your good attention. If you're ever down Slainsboro way, we have a room built on our home just for company. And it won't cost you a dime to stay there. We beg you to come and visit with us in our churches and in our home. If there be no resurrection of the dead, brethren, then Christ is not risen. You're yet in your sins. They which are asleep are fallen asleep or perished. And brethren, I tell you, there's no hope for us if there's no resurrection. Thank you all for your good attention.